QST from W1AW, the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio in Newington, Connecticut. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for April 19, 2017. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE in Daytona Beach, Florida. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland, and I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. This month, we have for you Puerto Rico radio amateurs active in major Caribbean tsunami exercise, amateur digital TV for emergency and disaster response presentation in Honolulu by Pioneer. Rural Northern Florida Aries Group supports mass casualty exercise. Local and state drills and exercises roundup. And article links amateur radio growth to emergency communications. But before we start, we have some acknowledges to make. James Barton, K5JTB in Fayetteville, Arkansas, sent us an email in which he wrote, "I listen to the podcast of the Audio Aries e-letter. I use the Stitcher app for Android on my phone." Well, thank you, James, for your feedback. We appreciate it and hope you keep listening. Here's another note from Danny DuBont, ZS6XOX in Boksburg, South Africa, near Johannesburg. Danny wrote, "I just want to tell you that your ARRL Aries Audio e-letter gets transmitted every Saturday and Sunday morning at 8 hours GMT on our local VHF repeater on Echolink ZS6XOX-R, as well as on All-Star Link 44081, which covers a large metropolitan area. Thank you very much for this Audio Aries e-letter. We enjoy it very much." Well, thank you, Danny, for your support. We're happy to know that people in South Africa are listening and enjoying the Audio Aries e-letter. Please let us know if your repeater is airing or if you're listening to the Audio Aries e-letter via social media by sending an email to kz3ab@arrl.net. Please include the method by which you are listening. That email address again is kz3ab@arrl.net. And if you don't mind, please copy your email to the ARRL Aries e-letter editor, Rick Palm, k1ce@arrl.net, in your note. I'll repeat Rick Palm's email address. It is k1ce@arrl.net. And thank you all for your support. Now, Puerto Rico radio amateurs active in major Caribbean tsunami exercise. Puerto Rico amateurs participated in the Carib Wave tsunami exercise on Tuesday, March 21, 2017. Carib Wave is the annual tsunami exercise of the UNESCO Tsunami and Other Coastal Hazards Warning System for the Caribbean and adjacent regions. Its major objective is for countries, emergency management stakeholders, and communities at risk to test, validate, and update their tsunami response plans. A purpose of the exercise is to improve Caribbean Tsunami Warning Program efficacy, serving tsunami warning centers and other focal points. The exercise tests and evaluates the operation of the regional early warning system to continue the process of communication with the NOAA and NWS Pacific Tsunami Warning Center, or PTWC, and to validate the readiness to respond to a tsunami. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center is located in Honolulu, Hawaii, and was formed in 1949 following an unwarned tsunami from the Aleutian Islands that struck Hawaii on the morning of April 1, 1946, killing 159 people. A NOAA NWS report stated, "Tsunami occurrences are relatively infrequent in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. The most significant historical events happened in 1867 and 1918. However, the Puerto Rico Trench and other seismic zones in the Caribbean region are all capable of generating tsunamis. Further, vulnerability within Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands is very high due to the fact of a high population density near the coast and tourist activities concentrated at the coast. In Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, the Carib Wave exercise is conducted in coordination with the Puerto Rico Seismic Network, or Red Sísmica de Puerto Rico, UNESCO, NOAA, and the Puerto Rico Emergency Management Agency, or PREMA. The scenario selected for this year was an earthquake with the epicenter located at the east of the island of Antigua, generating a tsunami incident for the entire Caribbean. Exercise information can be found on the Tsunami Zone website, www.tsunamizone.org. Tsunami Zone is all one word and is spelled T-S-U-N-A-M-I-Z-O-N-E. I'll repeat that URL and the spelling. It's www.tsunamizone.org. And Tsunami Zone is all one word and is spelled T-S-U-N-A-M-I-Z-O-N-E. Historically, amateur radio has been an important part of this exercise at an island-wide level, with various island radio groups participating on an array of VHF, UHF, and HF frequencies. Puerto Rico Section Emergency Coordinator Juan Sepulveda, KP3CR, noted that some Caribbean island nations, such as St. Lucia, for example, also conducted their own drills. Other Caribbean islands checked into the Puerto Rico net, established on 40 meters. At 10:05 a.m. on March 21st, the exercise commenced with the Emergency Alert System, or EAS, being activated on broadcast radio, TV, and cable outlets on the island, announcing the drill scenario. Sirens were tested in all of Puerto Rico's coastal cities and towns. Many government and community administrations co-conducted evaluation drills. The role of amateur radio licensees was to gather reports from others on how the EAS alert was heard or learned of, either by radio, TV, cable TV, NOAA weather radio, social media, smartphone apps, and/or any other media, and if any, heard sirens for alerting along the coasts of the island. A summary of the reports gathered were delivered to PREMA officials during a post-exercise meeting with SEC Sepulveda and ARRL Section Manager Oscar Resto, KP4RF. The primary repeater system used for communication of the requested reports was the Movimiento Radio Afición Aros de Puerto Rico, comprised of 13 VHF and UHF repeaters island-wide. The exercise net was controlled by the Patriot Amateur Emergency Radio Club, an ARRL-affiliated club, with the call WP4PQK. The HF net was run by Section Traffic Manager Pedro Irisari, KP3PI, on 7188 kHz. Local and neighboring Caribbean stations reported into the net. The other active VHF net was held on 147.09 MHz, controlled by the Radio Operators of the South, Puerto Rico Radio Operadores del Sur, ROS, which also served as a clearinghouse for reports. New PREMA Executive Director Abner Gomez Cortez hailed the Carib Wave 2017 exercise as a success during a visit to the John F. Kennedy Elementary School in Toa Baja. The school is situated near the coast. Our thanks goes out to Angel Luis Santana Diaz, WP3GW, the Public Information Coordinator and Assistant Section Manager for the ARRL Puerto Rico Section, for this report. It's time to pause for a few seconds now to allow repeaters to identify. Stay tuned for more of the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back, and this is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for April 19th, 2017. Next up is Amateur Digital TV for Emergency and Disaster Response Presentation in Honolulu by Pioneer. Last summer, Jim Andrews, KH6HTV of Boulder County, Colorado, Ares, was contacted by ARRL Pacific Section Manager Joe Speroni, AH0A, who had learned of the nationally recognized Digital High Definition Amateur TV, or HDATV, operations in Boulder, Colorado. HDATV has served the area emergency management community so well that Mr. Speroni invited Mr. Andrews to visit Hawaii to introduce the system and service concept to the state's radio amateurs and public safety and emergency management administrators. In January, Mr. Andrews flew to Hawaii to make the presentation. Mr. Andrews prepared and presented two PowerPoint presentations. The first was titled TV in Ares, and the second was titled Amateur High Definition Digital Television. Mr. Andrews set up a live operating exhibit featuring a high-definition TV camera, a 70-centimeter digital video broadcasting terrestrial standard, or DVB-T TV transmitter, and a DVB-T receiver. Section Manager Speroni arranged for Mr. Andrews' presentation to be given to the Emergency Amateur Radio Club, EARC. The club meets at the Naval Fleet Reserve Building near Pearl Harbor. 50 radio amateurs attended the presentation, including Boulder ARC member Ed Brookshire, W0HB, and his wife, who were vacationing in Hawaii at the time. Mr. Andrews had the live TV demo running prior to the meeting, with a TV camera looking out on the crowd and the high-definition image being displayed on a large flat-screen monitor. The exhibit generated much interest prior to the meeting and during the meal break. Mr. Andrews discussed the Boulder County Ares, or BC Ares TV service, the program, and the leading success BC Ares members have had in providing TV coverage for the public safety agencies starting in 1990. Mr. Andrews discussed the history of amateur TV, starting in the 1920s to the present day, and DTV, emphasizing their use of the European Terrestrial Broadcast Standard, or DVB-T. He also explained the technical details of the equipment he had brought for the display and live demo. The next day, Mr. Andrews visited the State Emergency Operations Center. The EOC is located in an old Army bunker within Diamond Head Crater. There, he met with employees of the State of Hawaii Department of Defense, Civil Defense, Emergency Operations Center, and the key radio amateurs in Honolulu, Ares, and Races. Mr. Andrews again set up his live DTV demo and gave both talks. Mr. Andrews' presentations were well received, generating much interest both with the hams and the state EOC administrators. As a result, they made the decision to implement a similar high-definition amateur DTV capability on Oahu for public safety purposes. The state EOC Chief Communications Engineer, Robin Liu, AH6CP, also made the decision to implement a cross-band 70 centimeters to 23 centimeters DTV repeater system to be installed on the rim of Diamond Head Crater, where it would provide excellent coverage to most of the city of Honolulu. The hams at the EOC requested a list of the necessary items and sources, which was provided. Key items included DVB-T modulators and receivers from Hi-Des in Taiwan. Mr. Andrews also received purchase orders from the Ares Races members for his own RF linear power amplifiers for both the 70-centimeter and 23-centimeter bands, plus 23-centimeter preamps. Mr. Andrews' PowerPoint slideshows are available as PDF files and can be downloaded from his KH6HTV website, which is kh6htv.com/application-notes. I'll repeat that URL. It's kh6htv.com amateurtv.com/application-notes. And extensive sets of application notes, all related to amateur TV, both analog and digital, are also available on that website. Local and state drills and exercises roundup. The ARRL Alabama section is initiating a new program of rapid response drills, or RRDs, meant to test the portable capabilities of operators on a county-by-county basis. The program is in response to the need for more simulations that can accurately represent real-world conditions in an emergency or disaster response. The key to the drill is to have stations and operators under the incident command system operating remotely as well as portable and mobile. Stations operate off the grid and conduct the drill using VHF frequencies without the use of local repeaters. Operating simplex is another way to test the capabilities of traffic handling as close to emergency/disaster conditions as possible. Each county EC is encouraged to select at least one location in their county that has the potential to be a ground zero for a local emergency or disaster event. The goal is to set up a station there and begin attempting to make contacts. This effort initially starts with direct contacts and then other contacts by relay, thereby testing the capabilities of the operators. Once the VHF net has been established and stations have successfully mapped the coverage area for their direct contacts, the drill can then migrate to HF frequencies. The move to HF is also based on real-world experience. Once the situation has been stabilized, contact outside the affected area is needed. The rapid response drill encourages operators to make their VHF contacts with the Incident Command Net Control stations, and then, using HF, to attempt contacts outside their home operational area. This is a developing program, and the first drill was conducted on Saturday, April 15, 2017. There were some outstanding operations, successes, and frustrations, as was expected. In the coming weeks, the section leadership will be surveying ECs across the state to record lessons learned, gather success stories, and capture opportunities for improvement. The instructions for this initial drill were intentionally sparse, leaving more of the details to the ECs so the event could be tailored to their local conditions. In Alabama, there are coastal communities, urban centers, rural farmland, rivers, lakes, earthquake zones, nuclear power stations, major rail lines, and etc. So the operating environments are quite diverse. Another important component was the time frame for the exercise. We chose to have the event limited to 2 hours because, as in all emergencies or disasters, the first few hours are the most chaotic. Also, limiting the time commitment for a drill allows more focus and participation by local operators. Prior to the drill, operators were introduced to the Rapid Response Program idea during presentations at hamfests across the state and social media sites dedicated to amateur radio. One topic from these introductions was Go Kits, what it means to operate off the grid, what does portable mean, and how rustic should the drill be in terms of equipment? The answer to those questions was, of course, it depends. The RRD presents the challenge, what gear to use, and where to set up. Those are the two biggest questions that face communicators in any disaster. For the RRD, we encourage each county EC to make those decisions either before the drill started or immediately after. Alabama is committed to a few more rapid response drills this year, and each one will be building on the previous exercise. The goal is to create a flexible, reliable, and nimble skill set among our amateur radio operators who can respond in the first moments after the onset of a disaster and begin communicating accurate, actionable information in service to our community. Thanks to the ARRL Alabama Section Manager, Javon Martin, W4JVM, for this article. It's time once again to pause for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. Stay tuned. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for April 19th, 2017. We'll continue now with Rural Northern Florida Aries Group Supports Mass Casualty Exercise. A small but vitally active Madison County, Florida Aries Group was asked to participate in a mass casualty exercise this month. Madison County is a rural county in the state's Big Bend region. The role of Aries was to establish two-way radio communications between the county dispatch center and the Lee School, where an alternate care facility would be established in a disaster. The scenario was a tornado that had overturned a bus near the intersection of Highway 255 and Interstate 10, south of the town of Lee, Florida. At 3 p.m., Aries operators began moving to various staging areas, awaiting the Code Red telephone alert. The Code Red was issued at 5:53 p.m., with the request for radio operators to check in to the Lee repeater on 145.19 MHz. Madison County EC Pat Lightcap, K4NRD, commenced the net. Five members who remained at the staging areas checked in. At 5:57 p.m., a call was received from County Emergency Manager Alan Wiggum, KI4IFH, requesting to see how many amateur radio operators and communications services were at the Lee School Care Facility and the County Dispatch Center. At 6:20 p.m., EC Pat Lightcap established UHF communications at the Dispatch Center by employing a handheld and accessing the 442.00 MHz repeater on the North Water Tower in downtown Madison. That system was proved to link dispatch to the Lee School via a crossband mobile repeater in the school parking lot, to Bob Downey, WA1TCC, who was using a handheld radio on VHF. By 6:49 p.m., all players left the school. There was no additional need for radio communications. The exercise was concluded, and the Aries members were ordered to stand down. Here are the lessons learned. Number one, while waiting for the exercise to begin, Aries members evaluated proposed communications paths and links, discovering gaps in coverage. They found that signals transmitted from within the Lee School on VHF were attenuated, rendering communications challenging because the school was constructed of metal. However, the group was successfully able to contact radio amateurs in the state capital of Tallahassee, Live Oak, Perry, and Lake City, Florida, as well as Valdosta, Georgia, to confirm access to hospitals in those cities. FM Simplex and mobile operation provided reliable links from dispatch to Lee School, with relays only requiring three vehicles. Number two, transmitting signals out of the dispatch center on a handheld to the Madison UHF repeater was also challenging. The plan had been to use a crossband mobile repeater to send UHF to the car and then VHF to the Lee repeater, which was near the school. The equipment to do this was not available, as had been expected. Number three, exercise officials at the school did not seem to know why Aries was there. No message was generated from the school. Better coordination in the future is needed. Number four, amateur radio operators from eight counties were involved, with three counties represented on site, representing excellent cooperation and coordination. And number five, antennas on site at the school and dispatch need to be researched to see if they are available for amateur use on short notice. Local and state drills and exercises roundup. This article comes from the ARRL News. An April 11th article titled "Emergency Communications: Driving Increase in Amateur Radio Operators" in Emergency Management magazine links the growth in amateur radio numbers to interest in emergency communications. The article states, "There has been a tremendous amount of interest in emergency preparedness since 9/11 and Katrina. And this is true for the amateur radio community as well, according to ARRL Emergency Preparedness Manager Mike Corey, KI1U. Mr. Corey also wrote, "Emergency communications is a gateway into amateur radio, and many join our ranks through an interest in being better prepared themselves and as a way to serve their community." The article cites numbers from ARRL VEC manager Maria Soma, AB1FM, who notes that 2016 was the third year in a row that the total number of new licenses exceeded 30,000. The article also cites ARRL Colorado Section Manager Jack Siachi, WM0G, who agreed with the premise that the uptick in new licenses is due to amateur radio's emergency capabilities. Mr. Siachi also remarked, "Interest really peaks after a large-scale event where ham radio has been utilized. When regular phone service fails, amateur radio operators fill the communications gap with their independent transceivers and battery power backups." And that concludes the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for April 19, 2017. If you would like to hear the audio letter online, you can go to arrl.org/aries-e-letter-audio-version and click on the date to which you'd like to listen. That information again is arrl.org/aries-e-letter-audio-version and click on the date to which you would like to listen. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is an edited voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org. If you have any questions about amateur radio in general, or the ARRL, you may also write us via snail mail at ARRL, 225 Main Street, Newington, Connecticut, 06111. Or you may give us a toll-free call at 1-888-277-5289. We are always happy to help answer your questions, and you need not be an ARRL member. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. And I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2017, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.